Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
It's our literature unit for this month. I'm sure you've all been looking forward to it. This is our unit that stretches out over 3 days, and we talk about a work of literature that we perhaps have enjoyed, and we think that you might enjoy it as well. We're talking about a novel by the famous British writer Charles Dickens. I've only read one of his novels, Oliver Twist. I'm not good at reading fiction, but from what I could tell from Oliver Twist, I know he's an excellent writer. I love the way he, puts words together, sentences, paragraphs, and stuff like that. It's a joy to read. But today we're talking about a novel other than Oliver Twist. We're going to be talking about Great Expectations.
Yeah. We were assigned to read this, I think. When did I have to? I think I was in high school. This was one of our assigned books. So I have read it. I don't remember a lot, but I just got Netflix last year. I finally thought, whatever. I'm going to pay, see what they have. And they have a version of Great Expectations that was probably filmed maybe 10 years ago, I'm just guessing. That was kind of interesting to watch because the interpretations of some of these characters was very different than what I remembered. So if you haven't read the book, you can go online to check out an animated version. I say animated because there are actors in it. So check that out. I think Charles Dickens is amazing. One of my best friends loves books, loves reading, and she bought a first edition of a Charles Dickens book for me many years ago when she was in New York. So he is a fabulous writer. So if you get a chance, and we really encourage you to pick up a Charles Dickens novel. They're pretty cheap now because he lived a long time ago and all of his books are considered to be classics. This is one of them. It's not all, but pick it up and notice the way he puts words together. He's a really beautiful writer.
Yep, he's an artist in terms of writing, so it is a joy to read it as it is to read Shakespeare, but it's not as difficult as Shakespeare. But, of course, Dickens uses language that's not used in everyday conversation.
True.
Although you still will learn a lot by, you know, reading it. It will be a pleasure to do so.
Yeah.
Let's get to it. We're going to summarize Great Expectations in the first part of our lesson, so let's get to it. Let's read the entire contents of our lesson right now.
On a cold Christmas Eve, a young orphan named Pip sits in front of his parents' tombstones. As he contemplates how different his life could have been, he's interrupted by Magwitch, a runaway convict. Magwitch orders Pip to steal food for him and help remove his chains. Pip complies, but soon afterward the police apprehend Magwitch. A few days later, Pip's uncle takes him to visit a wealthy widow, Miss Havisham. Pip falls in love with her adopted daughter, Estella, even though she is dismissive of him. Pip dreams of becoming a gentleman and proposing to her. Miss Havisham decides to get Pip a job as an apprentice to the village blacksmith. Though Pip hates this position, he accepts it as he has few other options. One day, a lawyer turns up and informs Pip that he has a secret benefactor. He's told to head to London immediately, where he will be schooled in the ways of gentlemen. Pip assumes that his mysterious supporter is Miss Havisham and that his dreams are coming true. After years of living the good life, Pip meets Magwitch again and learns that the criminal is his benefactor. Magwitch explains that he was touched by Pip's kindness when he met him in the cemetery. This motivated him to become rich so he could use his wealth to better Pip's life. However, Magwitch is once again wanted by the police and needs Pip to help him escape. Unfortunately, their plan fails. Magwitch is caught and sentenced to death, and the government takes away Pip's inheritance. After years of working abroad, Pip returns to England and visits Estella, who'd gotten married but is now a widow. Humbled by life, she's kinder and more compassionate than before. As they hold hands, Pip believes they're destined to remain together.
Okay, everybody, it's time now for us to discuss today's lesson. Remember, today's lesson is a summary of our featured work of literature.
Mm-hmm.
And next time, of course, we'll talk about the author. And then on the third day, we'll come back to the book and talk about some of the ideas in the book. And we'll talk about Charles Dickens himself again. But in any case here, we're talking about Charles Dickens's rise from rags to riches. So, yes, indeed, if you're a poor farmer or a poor factory worker somewhere and you work really hard and save money, go to college, and then eventually become a really rich guy who is very respected with lots of friends and influence, then we could say yours is a rags to riches story. The rags, of course, refers to the tattered clothes you're wearing as a poor person, and riches, of course, are all the things you enjoy once you start making a lot of money. Your expensive car, all your houses, your real estate, your stocks and bonds, all that kind of stuff, those are your riches. A rags to riches story. So here, let's summarize this book. On a cold Christmas Eve, a young orphan named Pip sits in front of his parents' tombstones. So it's Christmas Eve, and this is an orphan who's lost his parents, and therefore, I guess he's sad. He goes to the cemetery, and he's looking at their tombstones. You could also say gravestones. Cemeteries in Western countries are different to those here in Taiwan. Usually, graves are marked in Western countries with just a big rock. It's usually kind of rectangular in shape. That's a tombstone. I would say gravestone myself. Tombstone sounds kind of old to me, an old
term. Sounds like the 1800s to me. Like, you know?
Isn't there a town called Tombstone, Arizona,
yeah,
or something like that?
You know, where the cowboys would have a shootout. Yeah, nowadays we typically refer to it as a gravestone, and he could visit his parents' graves. Yeah, but the stone is the part where you write on it. You put the person's name, the date of their birth and death. For my mom's gravestone or tombstone, we also put some words on it that represented what she was to us and what we loved about her mom. But yeah, he was there in a cemetery visiting his parents' tombstone. So he is an orphan, which is sad. At this point in the book, Pip is probably a teen, I would say, a teenager, as he contemplates how different his life could have been. He's interrupted by someone named Magwitch, which is a weird name, too. I thought Pip was weird when I wrote it. It's not a typical name. I think it's probably a nickname, but he's called Pip throughout the book, so we never really learn what his full name is. Contemplate means to think very deeply about something, especially if you're considering things like the meaning of life and what do I want to do with my life and what will I be someday? That's what we contemplate typically. He's contemplating how different his life could have been if his parents hadn't both died and passed away. While he's doing this, though, he's interrupted by Magwitch, who's described here as being a runaway convict. If you're a convict, you're somebody who's been arrested and gone to a trial, been convicted of some sort of illegal activity. So he was guilty, or at least the jury or the judge thought he was guilty. So if he's a convict, he's been in prison. Here it says he's a runaway convict. So we know from these two words that he's escaped from jail or prison somehow, and he's running away trying to avoid the police.
Right. A convict, as you said, is somebody who is in jail or used to be in jail.
Mm.
Sometimes it's shortened to con. He's an ex-con.
Yeah.
In other words, he was in jail before. So this is a runaway convict. He's probably trying to stay away from the police. And Magwitch orders Pip to steal food for him and help remove his chains. So here Magwitch sees this young orphan there, and he says, "Hey, I need help here. I'm hungry. You got to go over there to that restaurant over there and steal some food for me. Go to that supermarket or that traditional market there. Get me something to eat. I'm starving.
Yeah.
And also because I'm an escaped convict, I've got these chains on me. You got to help me get these chains off of me. Find some big sledgehammer or something like that, or some special cutters or some tools, and get these chains off of me. They make a lot of noise and they're heavy. I just don't want them on me. So here, Pip complies, which means he does as he's told, but soon afterward, the police apprehend Magwitch. So Pip is just a kid. Of course, this is an escaped convict. He's probably pretty menacing, pretty strong. Maybe he's got a weapon or something, so he's complies.
He's a little scary. I know in the films I've seen, he looks scary.
He should be scary, yes. Indeed, so of course, Pip complies, does as he's told, but then the police apprehend Magwitch, and here we've got the verb to apprehend. That just means someone is arrested for a crime. The police catch him.
That's right. Well, a few days later, Pip's uncle takes him to visit a wealthy widow. Her name is Miss Havisham. We know from the Miss that she's never been married. So Miss Havisham, we find out, has a daughter named Estella. I remember from the book and also the different films I've seen. I've seen a couple of different versions, different films of Great Expectations. It's very popular. The one I saw in high school was really old. I think it was filmed in like the 40s, 1940 or something like that. The new one, though, that you can see on Netflix is probably, like I said, maybe 10 years ago they did it. It's a good way to get a sense of the story and then pick up the book and read it. But Miss Havisham's not very nice, I remember. She also has an adopted daughter named Estella. If you refer to someone as a widow, it means someone's husband has died. And so she has reverted back or changed her name back to Miss. Most widows keep their name, though, Mrs. It's kind of interesting. So she's a widow. If you're a man whose wife has passed away, you are referred to as a widower. My father is a widower. So widow. Yeah, she does have a very beautiful daughter, I remember. The girls that are always cast in the movies who play Estella are always very, very pretty. But when we first meet Estella, she's kind of stuck up. She thinks she's hot stuff. She has an attitude, you could say. Before we learn more about Estella and why she's dismissive of Pip, which means she just doesn't even give him the time of day. That's a phrase we use, which means someone kind of ignores you. They look down on you, Kambutibiren. So they look down on you. They don't think you're worthy of their attention. That's what Estella is like with Pip when she first meets him. We're going to talk more about this, but first, we're going to take a quick break and listen to our Chinese teacher.
大家好，欢迎收听 English Digest， 我是 Holly。今天我们要阅读的文章是 Unit 16 文学单元的第一天课程。今天的文章介绍知名作家 Charles Dickens 的小说Great Expectations， 中文翻译为远大前程。首先我们看到文章标题 Charles Dickens' Rise from Rags to Riches。 Rag, R-A-G, 是抹布、旧布的意思，复数型 rags 有破旧衣服的意思。形容词 ragged, R-A-G-G-E-D, 是指破旧的。 Riches, R-I-C-H-E-S,横作复数形用，有财富的意思。所以 from rags to riches 就是指从赤贫到巨富。例如 The man went from rags to riches after winning the lottery. 这名男子在赢得乐透后从赤贫变成巨富。文章的第一段提到有一个名叫 Pip 的孤儿坐在父母的墓碑前。这时候一个逃逸的罪犯 Magwitch 出现在 Pip 前。我们看到第一段的第二句 As he contemplates how different his life could have been, he's interrupted by Magwitch, a runaway convict. Magwitch orders Pip to steal food for him and help remove his chains. 他正在思量自己的人生本来可以变得不一样的时候，却被逃犯马格维奇打断。马格维奇命令皮普偷食物给他，帮他拿掉身上的锁链。 本句的前半部分用一个疑问词 how 来连接一个子句，作为动词 contemplates 的受词，表示多么的意思。使用时注意要先将子句里的形容词或副词放在 how 的后面，然后才接主词和动词。例如 I didn't know how difficult the project would be until I started to work on it. 直到我开始进行这项企划，才知道它有多么困难。我们再看到这一句有一个名词 convict， 用来指在服刑中的囚犯。这个字也可以做动词用，意思是宣判某人有罪。片语 convict somebody of something 就是指宣判某人犯了某罪。例如 The man was convicted of the murder of his wife. 这名男子因杀害自己的妻子被判有罪。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Okay, everybody, let's continue with our lesson for today. Remember, we've got the characters introduced now. We've got Pip the orphan, we've got Magwitch the escaped convict, and now we've got Miss Havisham and her adopted daughter, Estella. So, of course, Estella is beautiful, she's attractive, she's desirable, of course. Every story like this has got to have the pretty girl.
Yeah.
And Pip dreams of becoming a gentleman and proposing to her. Right now, I'm just a low-life scum orphan. She wouldn't want to have anything to do with me. I don't blame her. But someday, I'm going to become a gentleman. So I'm going to start working hard, save up my money, maybe go to charm school or something like that, and I'm going to become a gentleman. And later on, when I'm prepared, when I have a nice tuxedo on or a nice suit and a good steady job and I've got lots of savings and things like that, I am going to propose to her. Propose as a verb just means to ask someone to marry you. And of course, you have to offer her the diamond and stuff like that. And Miss Havisham decides to get Pip a job as an apprentice to the village blacksmith. Blacksmith. Okay, so you can't start at the top, you know. He's got to start at the bottom here. So he's an orphan. He doesn't have much of a choice here. So he's going to get a job as an apprentice, which means somebody who works for somebody else in order to learn the trade, okay? So if you're an apprentice, you probably don't really get paid that much, but eventually you'll learn enough until you can get a promotion, get a better position, and a better salary.
It's kind of like our word intern that we have today, but back long ago. This is, I would say it's the early 1900s perhaps, or maybe even 1800s. Back then, they had to apprentice with somebody like a blacksmith or a printer or a baker. That's how you learned your skills. You didn't go to school. A lot of these people who weren't born wealthy weren't educated. They couldn't read or write. And if you were a gentleman, I wanted to mention back in those times, if you were a gentleman, you inherited money. You had no job. You didn't have to work at all. So it was pretty nice back then to be born into money. So she tries to get a job for Pip as an apprentice. And though Pip hates this position, he's not really interested in it. He doesn't want to learn how to become a blacksmith. A blacksmith is someone who works with metal, so iron, and they work with really high heat that melts that iron, and then they make things like horseshoes for horses back then and wheels for wagons, things like that. So one day a lawyer turns up. It says here that he accepts that he has few other options. Option just means a choice. So one day he just says, well, you know, I don't really have any other options, no other choices. It's not like I can, you know, go to school and be a lawyer. Because, you know, he didn't have any money to go to school. So one day a lawyer turns up and informs Pip that he has a secret benefactor. A benefactor is someone who is very wealthy and who decides to give some of their money to someone they're supporting. We have benefactors today. I used to study opera, and there would be rich people that would kind of take a singer under their wing and decide, oh, they have talent. It takes a lot of money to become an opera singer. You have to take lessons and you have coachings. So they'd give you lots of money so you didn't have to worry about working. You could just live off your benefactor's money. So that's what a benefactor is.
What a stroke of luck. So, yes, he's got this low-paying job as an apprentice for a blacksmith, and it's probably dirty and smelly, long hours, and when you're done with work, you're exhausted. You don't have any energy to go meet people or to go take classes someplace. So he has few options, but yes, indeed, the lawyer shows up and says, hey, you've got somebody who's willing to pay for you. You've got a benefactor. And then Pip is told to head to London immediately. You've got to head down to London town there, and in London, he will be schooled in the ways of gentlemen. Okay, so here we've got the word school being used as a verb, to be schooled in the ways. You're taught to do something or taught to be a certain way. We don't often use the word school as a verb, and I'm thinking that to be schooled in something usually means somebody's being taught a lesson or you're being taught how to be a gentleman. You wouldn't say, oh, I'm going to be schooled at Stanford in chemistry. You wouldn't say that. I'm going to study chemistry at Stanford. To be schooled in something usually has to do with in this period of history of learning how to be a gentleman and other things.
Pip assumes that his mysterious supporter is Miss Havisham, since he already knows her and she's very wealthy, but he's wrong. After years of living the good life, Pip meets Magwitch again. If you live the good life, guys, it just means, wow, you know, you have plenty of money and you get to do things that you really enjoy. Some people even live the good life these days. Sometimes if I go on vacation and it's wonderful, I'll say, yeah, I got to live the good life for a couple of weeks. So Pip meets Magwitch again after years have passed by, and he learns that the criminal, this runaway convict that he'd run into as a kid, is his benefactor. So Magwitch obviously went on to become very wealthy and wanted to return Pip's kindness by giving him money that he could use to become a gentleman. Magwitch explains that he was touched or moved by Pip's kindness when he met him in the cemetery. A cemetery, of course, is a place where we bury people who have passed away in those graves that have the gravestones or tombstones. So he was very appreciative of Pip, and so he wanted to return the favor and give him some money.
Okay, so this motivated him to become rich so he could use his wealth to better Pip's life. That's what Magwitch was motivated to do. He became rich, and then he would use that money to help out Pip the orphan. However, Magwitch is once again wanted by the police and needs Pip to help him escape. Maybe as a rich person, he's guilty of insider trading or something like that, so the police are coming after him, and he wants Pip to help him. Please help me. The police are coming after me. They're going to throw me in jail again. Unfortunately, their plan fails. Their plan to help him escape fails, and Magwitch is caught by the police. Again, he's apprehended, and this time he is sentenced to death. He's going to be executed, and the government takes away Pip's inheritance. Inheritance, of course, money is money you receive from some relative, usually, after they have passed away.
Right. So after years of working abroad, Pip returns to England and visits Estella. That's the young adopted daughter of Miss Havisham, who was really dismissive of him in the years past when they were both much younger. He finds out that Estella had gotten married while he was away, of course, but is now a widow. Her husband that she married had passed away. Humbled by life, sometimes life can do that if you have a lot of difficult times and trials and tribulations. You can be humbled by life, and so you feel a lot more grateful for things that you have. She's kinder and more compassionate than before. I'm sure she was. So if you're a compassionate person, you really have a soft heart for people who are suffering. you have a lot more love and kindness within you. And she probably felt a lot different towards Pip at this point. So that changed the situation between the two of them. And so at the end of the book, as they hold hands, it says, Pip believes they're destined to remain together. If you're destined to do something or become something, it's almost like it's in the stars. It's your fate that this happened. So the noun form of this verb is destiny. It's my destiny to become a famous singer, or it's my destiny to be a very good baseball player. They were destined, it seems, here to remain together until their deaths.
They will be together forever and forever. So it sounds like this story has a happy ending, so maybe you ought to check it out. But right now we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher once again.
文章的第二段提到 Pip 的叔叔带他去拜访一位富有的寡妇 Miss Havisham. Pip 爱上了 Miss Havisham 的养女 Estella. Pip 梦想以后能成为绅士并向 Estella 求婚，但 Miss Havisham 决定让 Pip 去当铁匠的学徒。我们看到第二段的第五句 Though Pip hates this position, he accepts it as he has few other options. 虽然皮普讨厌这个职位，但因为他几乎没有其他选择，他还是接受这份工作。名词 option 是选择的意思，片语 have no option but to 加原形动词是指除了做什么别无选择，不得不的意思。此片语中的 option 也可替换成 choice 或 alternative， alternative。 例如 to support himselfJack had no option but to work two jobs. 为了养活自己，杰克不得不做两份工作。另外 ,option 的动词为 opt, O-P-T, 也是选择的意思。后面可以接 to 加原形动词或 for 加名词。例如 ,after discussing it with her parents, Judy opted to go to university in England. 在和父母讨论过后，朱蒂选择去英国念大学。Option 后面如果加上 AL, 就变成形容词 optional, 意思是可选择的、非必须的。例如 ,this course is optional, not required. 这门课是选修的、不是必修的。文章的第二段又提到 Pip 后来收到匿名捐款人的赞助，能够去伦敦学习当绅士。我们看到第二段的最后一句 ,Pip assumes that his mysterious supporter is Miss Havisham,and that his dreams are coming true. 皮普断定他的神秘支持者是郝维香小姐，他的梦想就要成真。本句用两个 that 名词子句作为动词 assumes 的受词。要注意的是，一个句子里如果有两个以上的 that 名词子句做受词时，只有第一个 that 可以省略，其余的都不可以。文章的第三段提到 Pip 后来又遇到 Mac Witch，才知道资助他的人并不是 Miss Havisham, 而是 Mac Witch。虽然 Mac Witch 后来变富有，却仍被警方追弃。我们看到第三段的第六句 ,Unfortunately, their plan fails. Mac Witch is caught and sentenced to death, and the government takes away Pip's inheritance. 不幸的是，他们的计划失败，马格维奇被捕且被宣判死刑，而政府也拿走了皮普的遗产。Sentence 在本句做动词用，有宣判、判决的意思。片语 sentence somebody to something， 意思是判某人有某刑罚。例如 ，Mark was sentenced to 20 years in prison。马克被判了20年徒刑。以上就是今天的课程，谢谢大家收听。
That's it for today, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. But hey, don't go away. We're going to continue talking about Charles Dickens in our next program. So please join us then. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.